look at, and it's the main thrust of the message is how to deal with discouragement. But the title of the message is Encouraging Yourself in the Lord. Or also, I had another preacher that I remember hearing a preacher preach about this passage, and he used the terminology, preach to yourself. He said, what in the world, preach to yourself? And I think it's good to preach to yourself. Sometimes our emotions and our feelings become so loud inside our own heart, inside our own head, it's good to preach to yourself. It's good to remind yourself of God and remind yourself of God's word. Remind yourself of the things that you need to know and learn and grow. So the way that this one preacher, he clarified is preach to yourself. And I thought that was kind of a catchy title. Then I went to look it up online, and people have been saying it for the last few hundred years, you know, about preaching to yourself. Because your emotions, they're real. Sometimes they're not true. Most times they're not true. But they're the feelings that we have from our heart. And we got to remember, if they're contrary to what God's word says, they are not true. And we need to learn how to preach to ourselves. Preach to yourself when things are going bad. Preach to yourself when people are not around. Preach to yourself when sin is trying to convince us that there's no other way. And so today in the story, it's a story about how David dealt with encouragement. And this is found later on in the chapter, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. So let's go ahead and jump in here. We're going to read the story a little bit, and then we're going to teach a lesson about encouraging yourself in the Lord, or preach to yourself. It says in chapter number 30, verse number 1, it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. And had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, wept until they had no more power to weep. So we see these grown warriors. They've come back from this battle, or come back from not having to go to the battle. As they go on the horizon, the city where they left their wife and kids is burned to the ground, and they're crying and they're weeping because of their children. It says in verse number 5, and David's two wives were taken captives. It says Ahinoam and the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And it says in verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David encouraged himself, and the Lord is God. And it says, verse number 7, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this group? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's help today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for the people that are here. What a blessing it is to serve such a wonderful and great God, but also an almighty and all-powerful God. God, help us to learn to encourage ourselves. Troubles will come. Hardships are going to come. You even tell us that in your word. But help us to learn how to encourage yourselves in the Lord. Lord, the Lord our God. And Lord, I pray as we consider some things this morning, I don't know what everybody's going through, but I know you laid this on my heart for today to help us help someone. And Lord, I know you've encouraged me. And Lord, we want you to encourage someone else too. In Jesus' name, amen. So when you look at this thought, David's in a pretty bad spot here, pretty bad shape. And the flow of life is going to bring difficulties. It's going to bring hardships. Even routine things of life become at times very wearying. As Christians, we certainly should be watching for times and ways to be an encouragement to each other. I think that's important. They encourage one another. But there is something different about encouraging ourselves. Sometimes there's a time where there is no one around us to encourage us. Sometimes the person you're trying to call doesn't pick up the phone. Sometimes, if they're like me, they just don't answer the text message. Sometimes it's, you know, they're missing at church. And there are certain people that you call that can be a blessing and a help to you sometimes, but sometimes there's no one there. And David finds himself in this spot. Each of us, from time to time, needs to be encouraged. And you've seen this story. David is there. David has made some mistakes. He made some problems for himself. And he has found himself unfairly banished from Israel because of Saul's jealousy. But he turns himself to the Philistines. The Philistines were suspicious of his motives. So he's going. He went to go to battle with the Philistines, and they turn around. After a three-day journey, he comes back, and he comes back to the city where David was residing. At this time, when he sees, can you imagine going across the mountain or coming across, down the hill, and the spot where the city's at, you see smoke? And as you grow closer, maybe you run to the city, you grow closer, this is where you left your wives, this is where you left your kids, this is where you left all your possessions, and you get there, and it's all burned out, it's all gone, and you don't even know what happened. Can you imagine how distressful that would be? Verse number 6, I believe, it says that he was greatly distressed. Who could David turn to? He would say, well, his 600 men were sitting there, his mighty men. They would have been an encouragement to him. Well, they read earlier, they were picking up stones, talking about getting ready to stone him. They weren't going to encourage him. Well, that wife is his, Abigail. She would be a big encouragement. Remember how she tried to encourage Nabal? Well, she's gone. She's been taken by the Amalekites. There's no priest that's there, per se. I know Abathar's there, but no high priest or none of the prophets that have encouraged him before in the past. There is no one there. He's sitting there all by himself. The men that he's there with are talking about stoning him. And where can he find courage? Where can he find motivation? Where can he find the trust to be able to deal with this defeat, deal with this disappointment, deal with this discouragement? And the Bible says that he encouraged himself and the Lord. And there's at the end of verse number 6, his God. It was his God that he could encourage himself with. He didn't have to turn to someone else's God. This was the God he knew. This is the God he understood that was there for him. David encouraged himself in the Lord. This word encouraged, according to the Strong's Concordance, means that David fastened himself to and fortified himself with the Lord. Though he was greatly distressed, his God was not distressed. Even though he didn't know what he was going to do, God knew what he could do. So today I want to talk to you a little bit about how to encourage yourself in the Lord or how to preach yourself. So how does one encourage himself in the Lord? You know, once, as I mentioned already, there was nobody there for David to turn to. People were talking about killing him. His family was gone. They'd been kidnapped. His possessions had been gone. Sometimes people encourage themselves, well, at least I have all this stuff. David couldn't even do that anymore. Everything he had, was all gone. And he's there. So how does a person at that moment and that time encourage themselves? I mean, I know about you, but sometimes when I get discouraged, I take open my Bible. When I take open my Bible, I begin to read the Psalms. Boy, they're an encouragement, aren't they? Well, David wrote some of the Psalms, but he doesn't have a Bible. He doesn't have a Bible with him. What is he going to do? Well, I'm going to encourage myself by going to talk to a godly friend that's going to help me. They're not there. So what do you do to encourage yourself? Here's a couple of things. The first thing I think about is, when you're preaching to yourself, remind yourself of how God has worked in other people's lives. What do you mean? Well, if you don't have a Bible, what are you going to remember? I think David was a person who loved the Lord. I think David was a person who trusted in God. I think David was a person who knew God and knew God's word. I think he knew the promises of God. I think he knew the power of God. I think he had been taught them. I think he memorized them. I think he meditated them. Maybe when he was out there as a shepherd out on the hillside and looking up at the stars, we know that he wrote some of the Psalms, and some of the Psalms were talking about other words that had been written in the Bible originally. So I think he knew and understood those things. So how could he encourage himself? He can encourage himself by remembering all the different things that God had done for people in the past. You think about it, you know, David here could remember that God parted the Red Sea. Maybe David would remember how God brought the Israelites out of Egypt with all those 10 plagues. You begin considering and thinking about all the things that God had done for other people in the past. He's there. He's discouraged. He's despondent. He's sitting there, and he needs to encourage himself. He needs to preach to himself. And what he's doing, he's coming to this point, and he's realizing, hey, God has done all these other things for other people. You think about the people before him. Man, Noah. Hey, they saved Noah. I mean, Noah and his sons, God was able to save them. They were in a bad spot. And you think about all the different other times that God had worked and God had moved in the life of Samuel, and God had worked and moved in the times of Judges. You know, you think about the Gideon with the 300 guys. There was people that was in just as bad a spot as he was. And that's one way you can preach to yourself. You can encourage yourself with this. I remember how God has helped those in the past. I remember I serve a God that can do everything. And even though it might look like the world is going crazy, even though it might look like I'm pushing a boulder up the hill that I'm never going to be able to budge, that I'm never going to be able to move, I can remember how God's worked in the past in the lives of others. I can encourage myself and say, you know what? God was faithful to that person. And God was faithful to that person. And God was faithful to that person. Second thing is, not only does he encourage himself in the what God has done for others in the past, but you think about it, he's also remind yourselves of how God has worked in his own life or in your own life. You think about it, David has a story to tell. And he's preaching about, when, man, look how good God's been to other people. He can preach to himself about, look how God's been to me. How long ago was it that he took on the bear? How long ago was it that he took on the lion and won? How long ago was it that he walked out by himself to fight Goliath? There was nobody there to encourage him. None of those people were encouraging him. He encouraged himself in the Lord. How did he encourage himself? He encouraged himself by saying, God help me with the bear. God help me with the lion. God's going to help me with this uncircumcised Philistine too. So if we would learn to preach to ourselves and encourage ourselves, not only with the things God has showed us in the Bible. And just as a quick reminder, you know what? We have even more to be encouraged about than David was. Because you think about it, in David's life, that's only part of the Old Testament. Boy, we have all the New Testament that's ahead of us. We can encourage ourselves with the fact that, hey, Jesus died and he rose again. He's coming back someday. We can encourage ourselves more than even David could encourage himself in the Word, because of the fact that we know what he did for us. And we have the rest of the book for us. David only had the stories for the first however many years, the first couple thousand years. He could encourage, but we had the story for another couple thousand years. We can encourage ourselves, and we can definitely preach to ourselves, man, God's been, you think about it, what else did David have to go through? David also was fleeing from Saul. There was times when David was in a cave and God protected him. There was times when David was in a forest and God protected him. There was times when God allowed David to do this and this and this, and God helped him. So all we have to learn, if we want to really truly deal with discouragement, we need to stop listening to our feelings and start preaching to ourselves and start encouraging ourselves with, man, God, it was really good to those people in the past. And boy, God's been really good to me, and God's helped me over here. You might say, well, Pastor, that is good for David. David was a man after God's own heart. David got to become king, but what about me? Well, it does help us. The reason why we can encourage ourselves in this story is because God is still the same. He's never going to change. The Bible says that Christ, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He never changes. And I want to encourage you today is that sometimes feelings can get in our ways, and sometimes emotions can stop us from serving. But God is just as mighty as today as he was in the days of David. God also wants to have an impact in your life. God didn't save you to be emotionally distraught all the time, never doing anything for the Lord. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. Now, he might not do the same miracles he did for David for us. Why? We don't need it. We don't have the Goliath in our life. We don't have a king that's chasing after us. But God has different ways that he can help us, the same way that he helped David. Just as David did, we also have experience of God. We've prayed and seen God answer. We've had victory over sin. We've seen and heard his voice before. And as we respond, we find the leading of his Holy Spirit. God has helped us also. You can say, Pastor, God's never done anything for me. Well, then you need to go back and see whether or not you're truly saved. Because God loves his children, and God's working in the hearts of his children. God is always trying to encourage and move and motivate. If you don't hear God speaking to you or leading you or guiding you, then there's something there that you need to be careful with. Because God, Jesus even says, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They hear the voice of God. They hear God working in their hearts and their lives about what they should and should not do. If David had a reason to be encouraged, I truly believe we have even a greater reason to be encouraged. David maybe had the Red Sea. David had Goliath, but we have even greater. We have the cross. We have the resurrection. We know of God's love. We knew of God's grace. David only knew of God's law. David trusted what he possessed of the word of God. And we have God's completed word. We have every reason to live an encouraged life, even in the face of overwhelming difficulties. Encourage yourself today. Preach to yourself. God knows where you are. He knows how you got there. And he knows how to deliver you too. The amazing thing is, God already knows what's going to happen. There was a songwriter that wrote these words one time. It says, "The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It's no secret what God can do." You know, it's an amazing thought that God is able and God is willing. And we can encourage ourselves with that. We can preach to ourselves. And you say, "Well, I'm no preacher. I don't have an outline." And you can remember what God's done for other people. And you can remember what God has done for you, too. So with that part of encouragement, I want to talk for a little bit about one of the things that gets us discouraged the most. Is how people can be critical and how people can have criticism. So I would like to spend a little bit of time talking about how to deal with criticism. Because one of the most discouraging things in life is when somebody with a critical spirit says things about you. Now, sometimes do we need to be corrected? The truth is we do. Sometimes do we need encouragement and help? Sometimes we do. When I first started out in the ministry, I'm not sure if I was really prepared to deal with people's concerns about my leadership or my service. You know, it's amazing that how a person who doesn't come to church or a person who is not faithful to God and struggles in their own Christian walk, even if they're saved, and they say something and you let it bother you. And it's amazing how someone who is dead spiritually and they can say some type of off-the-wall comment to you and then you turn around, even though you know most people. Most people are not critical. Most people are an encouragement. Most people are people that are trying to help you in your walk. But something I've learned over the years is now to understand is whether it's someone who's close to you or someone who's not, criticism is part of the life of any servant of God. You're going to find somebody that's going to be critical. If you're doing something for the Lord, the devil is going to speak to somebody's heart about being critical towards you. Ministry life is truly a life that's in a fishbowl. The more that you serve the Lord, the more that you have responsibilities, you're going to have more people watching you and saying, "I don't think they should say that. I don't think they should go there. I don't think that they should wear that. I don't think they should." People are going to have an opinion about you. And I'm not just talking about pastors. I'm talking about teachers and Sunday school teachers and deacons. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, "Well, they're deacons or they're deacons' wives. They shouldn't be or they should be." You know, man is flesh. You're the pastor. You're the pastor's wife. Unlike that makes us unable to sin. Now, the Catholic Church might believe that the Pope becomes someone who cannot sin. I still don't understand how one person can be a sinner, but they go in a room and there's a puff of smoke and then they become someone who's not a sinner. And how one Pope can disagree with another Pope, but they both be perfect. I don't understand that, but that's a whole nother. But I tell you, in my flesh, I know I'm not perfect. A man is just as good as a man is. They're still made up of flesh. And just like that, the same thing when it concerns my wife, same thing when it comes to deacons and their wives and Sunday school teachers. But the point is, the more you serve the Lord, and that's the reason why I think there should be higher standards for those people, because they are living in a fishbowl and they are living in what people are going to watch. But that goes with any type of calling. You know, when we have our missionaries come in, and, you know, last week, one of the things that, you know, we come to talk to them, get to know them, but they're kind of like in a fishbowl, and they, you know, the people are there and watching them. What did they say? What did they mean by that? And there's people sometimes looking to be critical. Now, me, obviously, as a pastor of a church, people that, you know, makes recommendations whether we should take people on for support, we try to vet them, we try to go through interviews, processes, try to make sure they're the right, good fit for us. But, you know, kids are going to be kids sometimes, and they should be able to act like kids. But sometimes, well, I don't know if that person should do this or that because their kid this. You know, we should be careful, and how we criticize others. my experience, most people are loving. They're appreciative of your time. They're appreciative of the role that you've had. But at times, criticism of your actions and your motives will come. And the sad thing is, if we don't handle those times properly, they can be very bad situations. So I like to spend, you say, well, Pastor, what does it have to do with David? Here, David could have been criticized for decisions he made. Those 600 men, those mighty men that were there, could have said, David, we're here, it's your fault. David, you're the one that took us to Gath. David, you're the one that told us we should go fight with the Philistines. You're the one. But you remember who those 600 men were? Remember who those were? They were people that were down and out. They were people that were in debt. They were people that nobody else wanted. They were kind of, some of them even on the run. But David took them in. David helped them. David gave them. David was willing to work with them and encourage them. And sometimes we do need criticism. Sometimes we need godly encouragement. But be very careful when you go around criticizing someone else. Make sure you're led by the Spirit to encourage somebody with something else. Don't just go off the whim and this is how I feel. Remember, feelings are very deceitful. Your heart is very deceitful. Don't be a mouth tool of the devil. Instead, be willing to encourage and work in the lives of individuals. If we do not handle these things properly, you know what? It's going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt your testimony even greater. So here's a couple things about how to deal with criticism. First, take every experience of criticism to honestly examine my words and actions, or your words and actions. You know, one preacher put it this way. Criticism. Chew on it. It's like bubble gum. You should chew on it a little while, and you should spit it out. What do you mean? That means that, you know, we should consider what's being said. Is there some truth to that? The Bible talks about that. It says, seest thou a wise man in his own, seest thou a man wise in his own conceit, believing, you know, he's wise only according to how he feels? There is more hope of a fool than of him. If there's someone who cannot be taught, there's someone that has a problem. We should all be teachable. We should all learn. We should all grow. Look what it says in Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase hearing, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. You know, it's saying a wise man is going to hear. They're going to increase their learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. There are some people in the world you cannot tell anything to. There are some people in the world that you can't convince them that their way could be done a little bit better. You ever met someone like that? I know I have, and I've probably been that way before in the past too. But the Bible says that person that's wise in their own conceit, wise in their own ways, and they cannot be taught, there's more hope of a fool than him. We need to learn to grow and understand that when someone has something that they're saying to you, take those thoughts, take those hearts, be honest about them. Examine your own words. Examine your own actions. See if there was fault there. Even if you were the person that was hurt more. Even if you were the person that was the lesser sinner. Because I know many times in a relationship, sometimes I might respond and say something that's critical or say something that's wrong because someone attacks me. But it's still my responsibility to say, you know what? I should not have said that. And I can learn from that. Now, that person who attacked me, that person had the greater sin. That person did more to harm me than I ever did to harm them. But I got to be worrying about me. And the things that people say, sometimes we can learn from. We can grow from it. I am flesh and therefore capable of failure of the flesh. There are times where criticism of our lives and ministries are justified. Hopefully that criticism is offered in love and with a desire to help. But even if it is not, that does not change the fact that it is a justified criticism. You know, I may not be able to correct the spirit of the one who's being critical. And sometimes I wish things were said in the right way. Sometimes when someone comes up to me and says, well, you should have, it would have been so much nicer to hear a quiet voice, a discerning voice. It would have been so much better to hear in a godly, loving manner. But no, instead, I can't fix the way they did it, but I can fix the things that maybe I should fix. If we dismiss everything that someone says, we're never going to learn and grow. And the Proverbs talk about that. Now, would it be nice if everybody came to you in the spirit of a brother or sister to the Lord? It sure would. Would it be nice if they came and said, you know what, I've been praying about this, and God spoke to me to mention this to you. It'd be great if it started that way, especially if they weren't being hypocritical or lying and deceitful. It's amazing how some people can't even take any type of criticism. So how do you deal with discouragement? You preach to yourself. You learn, okay, Holy Spirit, this is what they said. Is there any truth to this? Sometimes it's easy to dismiss. You know, that was complete foolishness. That was a complete lie. They just misunderstand my motives. They misunderstand the reason why I did it. So because of that, I am going to do my best to examine my words and actions. Now, there's times when Jesus would ask people questions. And what was he doing? He was trying to get them to examine. He was trying to get them to consider their actions. We're going to start a series. I don't know if it's going to be all on Sunday mornings or Sunday nights. We're going to start a series about the great questions of the Bible. And why? So when God asks a question, what's the purpose of the question? Does he want to get knowledge? He knows everything already. But the question is because he wants them to consider something. He wants the people to consider it. Today we're going to look at when he talked to Sarah and he asked, well, he was talking to Abraham, but Sarah, being a good wife, was listening behind the tent door. And he said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? And he was talking about Sarah having a baby at 90. And why would he say that? You know, was he telling himself, asking himself, is there anything too hard for me? Am I concerned? Can I do this? Can I not do this? No. He wants Sarah to consider, why are you laughing inside yourself? Why are you doubting? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? He wants Sarah to get that. And he wants Sarah to understand that. And it's sort of like a math teacher. When they ask a little kid, 2 + 2, what does it equal? Does the math teacher know what the answer is? I sure hope so. But does God know the answer? He does. And sometimes when it comes to criticism in our life, God can use that criticism. Now, once again, he can change the spirit of how it's given too, but he can use that criticism to help examine ourselves. It's a very hard thing to do. But if you want to deal with discouragement and you want to deal with criticism, first thing you got to do is go honest before the Lord and say, God, is there something here I can learn? Is there something here I can grow from? Is there something I need to learn from? Next thing, how to deal with criticism. The second thing is, if criticism is unjust, then in humility I will attempt to explain my words and actions so that they can be understood by the critic. And I've tried to do this before. Will everybody listen? No. Well, they cut you off and act like they're the ones that are deeming to talk and say, you just didn't understand what happened. You didn't truly listen. I can say that I'm not perfect, but usually there's a method to my madness. There's usually a reason why I do what I do. And when somebody comes critical, all I ask them, I'll learn and I'll try to grow from them, but I will try to humbly say, well, this is what I was thinking. This is the way that I was. Now, what is that? Am I trying to justify myself? I'm not. But I'm trying to help them understand the purpose behind it. I'm trying to help them understand the reason why it was done, the reason why I was led to do that. So can you do that in a humble spirit? You can. A servant of the Lord must have a spirit of teaching and not striving. When you're saying things to just try to cause a problem, when you're saying things just to get a stir, I know some people, and there's a family coming to my mind that love drama. And no matter, it's like their whole life is based around, if there's drama going on, then everything's good. I hate drama. I despise when people are trying to say things just to get a reaction. It's just wrong. And the servant of the Lord should have a spirit of teaching, not striving. Our flesh does not enjoy forbearing. Our flesh does not enjoy being patient. Our flesh does not enjoy being kind. But it is the response that can lead to agreement and unity. It is the response that God can use. Stop giving answers that God can't use. Because if you say something that's wrong, then God has to deal with you while they're dealing with the person who's being unjust. Learn to give it over to the Lord. If you're not given the opportunity to explain, then be forgiving. That does not mean that you have to, that does not mean you stop doing what you think the Lord wants you to do. And we have a small church, but can you imagine large churches and people have different opinions? It's amazing, good Christian people that have different thoughts about different things. That's why God gives them a pastor, and the pastor is the overseer of the ministry, and sometimes he has to move forward even if some good people might disagree. And so the point is, doesn't mean that you stop doing what you think God's called you to do, but there's a spirit and there's a mind to helping them understand. I think about the story of Paul and Barnabas. What happened with Mark? You know, John Mark left him. John Mark did a wrong thing. Later on, Barnabas wants to bring John Mark on the journey, and Paul says no. Who was right? I don't know. maybe God used that to send out two different groups. But John Mark could have gotten to this spot. And most people say, wasn't Paul nice? Paul got it right. Paul was willing to later on receive John Mark. But in my mind, the person that had the higher, took the higher plane was when John Mark was willing to help Paul. Some people say, well, Paul later on got things right. John Mark finally grew up a little bit. And John Mark did grow up, because if someone was critical of you in a spiritual leader role, then to say, hey, I'm still willing to work for him, that's saying something. John Mark was willing to come and be a blessing. It wasn't the fact that John Mark and Paul became equals. Paul was always the great apostle. He was willing, in a servitude, humility role, be willing to go and be a blessing to Paul, even despite the fact that Paul didn't want to take him on the journey. What is that? That's having a spirit that is one of reconciliation than being critical. Third thing is, I will not use times of criticism and attack those that are critical of me. That's the good one. That's the fun one, right? When somebody says something that's really stupid and unjust, you know, it'd be so easy just to go around and say, can you believe so-and-so said this? After I've done all this for them and after I did all these different things, they're going to be critical of me. And I'm going to turn around, I'm going to attack them, and I'm going to turn around and do the same thing that they were doing to me. Now, you may be justified for it, and they did it unjustly. But that's not why God allowed criticism to come into your heart. God did not let the criticism come to your life so you could turn around and make that person look bad to everyone else. The failures in the critic's life do not justify the decision and choices in my life. The failure that the critic gives does not justify the decisions and choices in my life. It does not give me a right to turn around and act just like them. If I'm right, I am right regardless of the state of the critic's spiritual life. If I'm wrong, the critic's spiritual life does not change that fact. If there was something that was right about what he's saying, even though he said it in the wrong way, it doesn't change the fact that I was wrong to begin with and how I can get it right. The story is told about William Booth. He was attacked many times and viciously attacked by a detractor from his assistants. His assistants urged him to attack back, but Booth said, 50 years hence, it will matter very little how these people treated us. It will matter a great deal how we dealt with the work of God. Go on serving and let God vindicate you. Does that mean that I always have to turn the other cheek? Does that mean I have to keep on being criticized? There is one way that you can escape criticism, is by saying nothing, being nothing, and doing nothing. And sometimes people say that, if that's the way they feel, I'm not going to do it anymore. If God called you to do something, you have no right to stop. That is not the life that God wants for any of us. So, what happens if you're criticized? Listen to what's being said. Prayerfully consider what's being said. Chew on it for a little while, and then spit it out. Learn from it and grow from it. Use the criticism as an opportunity to humbly try to explain what's going on. You say, Pastor, they're not going to listen anyway. What does that help? If you get something in their heart and their head, you know who can bring it back to them? The Holy Spirit of God. If you say something in a kind, humble way and say, can I just explain to you? I had a meeting here in the last few weeks, and I talked, and it just seemed like it was, you ever talk to somebody and they weren't listening? It's like talking to this piece of wood, same type of response. And it was like beaten, and I said, why would you waste? Because there was truth that was said, and my hope is the truth will be something the Holy Spirit can bring up and use in the person's heart and life. Maybe not that day, and we can pray. Remember, is anything too hard for the Lord? It's not. So I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to be true. I'm going to keep on serving no matter what. And I'm going to learn. But even if it's unfair, I'm going to try to give why God led me to do it. But I'm not going to use this time as a way to vindicate myself. The Bible talks some about gossip. And gossip is something that we're all guilty of at times. But that's when we use our mouth to begin to downgrade and talk about somebody else. We've missed the point why God's given us a mouth. It's to praise him, it's to glorify him. And what right do you have to talk about anybody else anyway? So how do I deal with discouragement? And the reason why I chose that thought, because one of the things that gets me most discouraged is when someone is being critical of myself in the wrong spirit or critical of someone else. And it's important to remember these things. How do you deal with it? Remember what God's done before you in the past. Preach to yourself. Remember what God's done for everybody else. Remember what God's done for, even like David, he's sitting there, obstacles seem like they're almost impossible. Nothing seems like it's working. And now, what can I learn from it? I can learn and grow from it. I can also learn to use even unjust opportunities to be a humble and teacher for someone else. And I'm not going to use that as an opportunity to hurt someone else. Preach to yourself. Remember what God and how good God's been to others, how he's been to you, and we have so much more that we can learn and grow from. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask God's help today.